It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Sunday, November 27th, 2022. I'm Jared Halpern. Taylor Swift and antitrust law. The two have more in common than you think. As Congress prepares hearings about Ticketmaster.
To draw public attention to this, to show the larger public we're concerned about the breakdown in performance and we're dealing with it.
I'm Jessica Rosenthal. Republicans are promising to investigate the president, his son Hunter Biden, and Hunter's finances, as well as the DOJ and FBI, while Democrats pledge to investigate the investigators and put House Republicans on defense. But after midterms, is this what most voters want? Or will it depend on what, if anything, is found?
Well, I think the chief concern is one of national security.
This is the Fox News Rundown from Washington.
House Republicans on the Oversight and Judiciary Committees say they plan to investigate the president and his family's business dealings abroad, as well as the Justice Department and FBI, when they take the majority in January. Oversight Ranking Member Kentucky Congressman James Comer said at a press conference after the midterms he has questions about the president's son, Hunter, his finances, and how much the president knows about it all.
In the 118th Congress, this committee will evaluate the status of Joe Biden's relationship with his family's foreign partners and whether he is a president who is compromised or swayed by foreign dollars and influence.
Comer highlighted items he said were recovered from Hunter Biden's laptop, but he also claimed there are dozens of suspicious activity reports from banks red flagging Hunter's spending that they want access to. He was asked by one reporter what sort of deliverable he wanted, what kind of outcome here.
We will hand over any potential criminal activity to the appropriate authorities, and that's what we do. We investigate.
No. Ohio Republican Congressman Jim Jordan is also on oversight, but he's ranking member of the Judiciary Committee, and he said they will be looking into the Justice Department and the FBI, focusing on claims that the FBI had warned Facebook ahead of the 2020 election to be on the lookout for Russian disinformation, after which several former members of the intelligence community said the story then about Hunter Biden's laptop recovered after being left at a repair shop in Delaware looked like Russian disinformation.
Based on 14 FBI agents who've come talk to our office as whistleblowers, one of those agents said, and this is the term he used, he said, at the highest levels of the FBI, specifically the Washington field office, he said it's rotted to the core.
The Justice Department's been investigating Hunter Biden since 2018, and this fall there was some reporting that the focus was on possible tax-related charges over unreported income. But that remains to be seen. No charges have been filed. Meanwhile, Attorney General Merrick Garland said he was appointing a special counsel to oversee the cases relating to documents kept by former President Trump at his Mar-a-Lago estate, as well as January 6th. And Democrats say they're putting together a war room to put the Republican investigators here on defense. The question is, after years of various congressional investigations, what do American voters want Republicans and Democrats to spend their time doing, as concerns ranging from inflation to Ukraine, crime to the fentanyl crisis were the focus of midterms?
Well, I think the chief concern is one of national security.
Jessica Tarlov is a Democratic strategist and co-host of The Five. Jason Chaffetz is a former Utah Republican congressman who was Oversight Committee chairman and is now a Fox News contributor.
Not only for when Joe Biden was the vice president, but now that he's president, the family still appears to have financial interest in China that nobody seems to be aware of. And I think that's something that we should all be aware of and should dive into it, because evidently nobody else is willing to do that. And when you have somebody with such a powerful position, I think that's warranted. Hey, look, if there's nothing there, there's nothing there. You do investigations to find out. But there are emails and texts, a laptop chock full of information, and what had typically been available to members of Congress previously are these suspicious activity reports, of which there's more than 100, where a bank will say, this looks highly suspicious. How come they're closing that off to all of these Biden financial transactions. I think we ought to look at that. But that's not the only thing the Oversight Committee and Judiciary will be looking at, but certainly that's one of the main ones.
Jess, another thing House Republicans said after midterms that they were going to focus on, aside from Mr. Comer at Oversight looking into Hunter Biden's finances and the president's possible involvement that they're alleging may be a thing, is over at House Judiciary. Jim Jordan, the ranking member there, says they will be looking into whistleblower claims that top FBI and DOJ leadership is rotted to its core. When you compare Mr. Comer's deep dive into Hunter Biden's finances to oversight of DOJ and FBI, what is your sense? Is there more interest from most voters in one or the other of these investigations?
Well, I think that a Hunter Biden investigation is really for just a core part of the Republican base. And frankly, Democrats are welcoming the news that Republicans are going to run around spending their time talking about Hunter Biden, what he may or may not have done, his escapades. Every time I see another video of Hunter Biden exposed with a crack pipe show up on Twitter, I get a smile across my face because voters do not care about that. And the ones that do care are already voting for Republicans. I have generally said that the president has been clear that he has nothing to hide. And when you win and Republicans have taken over the House, elections have consequences and they can look through whatever they want. But I do think that they're not making a good enough case that this is something worth what it will be millions of dollars of investigations, time spent. They'll certainly be filling up the airwaves on cable news talking about it versus something like an investigation into the DOJ and the FBI, which I'm using air quotes. You can't see me, but that's the deep state, right? And that's something that they've been talking about since the quote, I'm using air quotes again, Russia collusion hoax dating back to 2016. And that's something that I think has more widespread appeal to Republican voters and maybe some right-leaning independents who do feel like there has been overreach in certain times.
What about Democrats, Jess? Wouldn't Democrats also want to know if—
I don't think that in general Democrats think that there are problems or a rot or a politicization of the DOJ and the FBI, at least the ones that I'm hanging out with. But I am very kumbaya about this, and I think that when you win an election, you get to decide what you investigate. And that's just the way that it is. But I don't know any Democrats who sit there and watch Christopher Wray testify. He goes to every committee that he is hauled in front of. He was a Trump appointee, which everyone loves to forget now that he's apparently so hateable. And if people want to look into how he's running the FBI, go ahead. I welcome as much transparency and what is it? Sunlight is the greatest disinfectant. So I'm fine with it.
Jason, does the GOP run the risk here of not convincing voters that this was time well spent? Like, even if they do find something damning, if it's too in the weeds to explain, what is the risk after years of investigations from Benghazi to Russia? I mean, we've all watched many investigations. So do they run the risk of, not convincing voters unless something is easy to digest?
Well, no. To say that, hey, if you can't put it on a bumper sticker, you shouldn't do it, I don't think that's the right way to do it. And I find it rich that Democrats say, oh, well, there's no interest here. There's nothing to see here. I mean, they're just coming around admitting that the laptop that Hunter Biden had is now real. And again, fairly rich from Democrats who spent 4 years and tens of millions of dollars investigating Donald Trump and came up with nothing. They claimed that there was all this evidence and they had all these security officials and former intelligence officers and Russian disinformation and countless number of articles. Here you actually have evidence. The corruption at the Department of Justice, you have over 1,000 pages from the Inspector General detailing the problems. You have 1,000 pages from the House Republicans detailing this. You have more than a dozen whistleblowers highlighting this. It is malpractice for Congress to just simply ignore this and don't pay attention to it. So these are some of the more high profile cases, but certainly not everything that they're going to be looking at. There's so much to do. Look, when you have 2+ million federal employees, you're spending trillions of dollars. there's always somebody doing something stupid somewhere. That's why Congress set up the oversight function back in 1814. You're supposed to be doing it. That's what you're supposed to be looking at. And it would be irresponsible to just bypass it and say, well, you know, the Democrats don't think there's anything there. You don't know until you do the investigation.
Yeah, just conversely, you know, Democrats say they're creating this war room to go on offense. I think the head of the group, Kyle Herrig, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, he told Politico that they're going to be investigating the investigators and exposing Republicans' motivations, putting them on defense with a plan to spend a lot of money on researchers, pollsters, a paid media campaign. I imagine Democrats don't want this to end up, you know, in a meme, you know, how it started, how it's going. So, you know, what should come of this? What would you hope as a Democratic strategist would come of this?
Well, the memes are going to happen no matter what, even if we get the best results possible. You know, yeah. Social media is always going to meme. I don't know. I think the details are not fully fleshed out of what this group will be doing. It's widespread. There are high profile names that are going to be part of it. I think that there are a number of figures in the Republican Party that people on my side of the aisle feel are worthy of deeper investigation, especially someone like Jim Jordan. I know people, you know, still want to talk about what happened back in that Ohio wrestling program, for instance, people that they don't think are fit to serve in Congress. And there's this feeling, and I find it interesting when I talk to my co-hosts on The Five, that they feel the same way but about us, in that Democrats think that Republicans will fight dirty no matter what, right? That they are willing to do whatever it takes to win. And that's something that, when we say that with a great deal of respect for someone like Mitch McConnell, right, who will just do, you know, whatever you've got to do to get those judicial appointments, right, to get to those Supreme Court picks, like what he did with Merrick Garland. And it's always interesting to me that Republicans think that Democrats are this way. And I think that this group of people coming together are trying to embody what we see as the Republican drive to win, that politics is a dirty and intense game. It requires a lot of money. I mean, just think about how much these elections cost, right, that we just went through in the midterms. I think the Pennsylvania Senate race is the most expensive midterm race in American history. Georgia will end up being more than that, since we still have another couple weeks to dump, you know, millions of dollars into see who's going to, if Warnock keeps his seat or Herschel Walker takes over. So I think that this is our response to an overwhelming feeling that Republicans have always been willing to go the extra mile, that Democrats haven't, and that we just, you know, kind of sit back and say, well, look at our policies. We're doing a good job. We're nice people. We're ethical people. And then it doesn't always pan out for us.
Jess, one more for you before I pivot to a little 2024 talk. Mm-hmm. If Republicans do reveal something maybe damaging to the president, yeah, or the GOP claims that, you know, these suspicious activity financial reports, if they link Hunter Biden and President Biden's finances and it doesn't look good, even if the war room is successful in their attack, right, mode, you know, what could be the potential impact if something is uncovered here ahead of 2024, I should say?
Yeah, I think, I mean, there are already Democrats that are sniffing around the idea of not wanting Biden to run again. The midterms put a little bit of a stop to that, since we did have such a good night when you look at it in historical perspective. Mm-hmm. But it'll obviously, you know, add fodder to the conversation around Joe Biden should be replaced as the top of the ticket. And then we get to what will be an incredibly bloody and crazy primary, because Kamala Harris is not a sure thing that people would rally around her. If you remember, she dropped out of the 2020 primary before even a single vote was cast in Iowa. So that would be my expectation if they do find something. I don't expect that they will, but it's always a possibility. And I think a lot about Elizabeth Warren commenting on this back in during the primary, where she said that if she won the nomination, this is before Biden had won, that she would not allow family members to take these kinds of positions. She just said it, it's just from an ethical perspective, while you're serving in office, this just shouldn't be going on. And I'm sure that a lot of Democrats will take that tack as well.
Interesting. Jason, I get the sense Republicans are a little bit more optimistic about their bench heading into 2024, with names like DeSantis and Nikki Haley, Mike Pompeo, Mike Pence. Even, you know, you look at Glenn Youngkin and Brian Kemp, those are governors. But what's your, I guess, crystal ball here? Because former President Trump is, I guess he's the first formal Republican to have announced that he's running in 2024. Does how does that play? I mean, how does he push everybody out? Does this become, what does this become with all of these names in
the it becomes
race?
The cluster that we all know it will be, because you know what? No road to the nomination is ever a smooth one. You can go past any presidential election. I think it's amplified with social media and just media in general. And certainly cable news, of which we're participants in and whatnot, but there's no smooth, easy path. And there really shouldn't be. I actually think the process is a healthy one. You shake the tree hard and make sure you know what you're getting yourselves into. But, I mean, I hate that it starts so early, but there's so much on the line. I mean, I kind of wish my hope was that Donald Trump would wait at least until the 1st of January. Let people enjoy the holidays and take a deep breath. Mm-hmm. I think it's exhausting politics. So, who knows? I mean, and it's not just Donald Trump. I'm just saying everything's on the line. Yeah. Republicans, I think, are salivating against running against Joe Biden or a Kamala Harris. And if it's not those two, I mean, really, they just don't have a whole lot on the Democratic side of the aisle. And we feel like, hey, we got 12, 15 people that have a real shot at it. And maybe it's somebody we really haven't talked enough about that mm-hmm. prevails. But certainly Donald Trump is the 800-pound gorilla, and never underestimate Donald Trump. He has proven time and time again that he knows how to draw people and garner votes, and he's formidable.
Just really quickly, anybody on your list? I mean, you said obviously President Biden, Kamala Harris, but I mean, I'm a former California girl. Uh-huh. I'm looking at Governor Newsom. I mean,
he's looking at himself. So you guys have that in common. obviously, Gavin Newsom has been itching for this. You know, he went to the White House conspicuously on a day that the president was not home. We know that he has higher aspirations. I'm looking at, and obviously haven't been in office as long as some other people, but, you know, Josh Shapiro, who just won the governorship in Pennsylvania, is a total rock star. Gretchen Whitmer has really delivered in Michigan. If you look at flipping the state house there, her margins of victory. Unpopular opinion. I've always said just run, Joe Manchin and we'll clean up, right? And he votes with Democrats 92% of the time or whatever it is. But I think some of those new faces should be considered. And then I think that people who have been around will also get involved again. I think Amy Klobuchar has a message that appeals to a lot of Americans. It's just hard to get out of this primary that too often shifts to the left. So I'll be watching whether Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders get in. Because if they do, then you know that it's going leftward. And that's going to be really difficult to get a general election candidate that can really unify the country and win that middle, which is where it's done.
Jessica Tarlov and Jason Chaffetz, thank you guys so much for joining us.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Fox News Radio on demand on the Fox News app. Download the app and just click listen. When you swipe left, you can listen to your favorite Fox News talk shows live. Swipe right for the latest Fox News Radio newscasts on demand. Fox News Radio on the Fox News app. Download it today.
Look what you made me do. I doubt those Taylor Swift lyrics are about antitrust hearings involving Ticketmaster, but the trouble millions of Swifties had securing tickets for the pop star's long-awaited tour has set off congressional hearings and regulatory questions about the size of market share by companies like Ticketmaster. A love story is emerging between grocery chains Kroger and Albertsons, raising questions as well, so that deal may not yet be out of the woods. As for Ticketmaster, the company has apologized to Taylor Swift fans, though stopped short of admitting, "I'm the problem, it's me." An upcoming Senate hearing is likely to press executives on that point. I had questions about the role of Congress and the Justice Department in weighing market forces and market intervention.
The place where the government, I'd say again for the last 20 years, has tried to draw the line is to say, we'd like to have at least four or five participants in the market. We really get nervous when that number falls down to three.
William Kovacic is an attorney who, from 2006 to 2011, was a commissioner on the Federal Trade Commission and chairman of the FTC from 2008 to 2009. He now teaches antitrust law at the George Washington University Law School.
Let's just start with the basic question of how much is too much.
The answer has been changing. And since early 2021, The decisive view of the Department of Justice and the Federal Trade Commission has been that merger policy for the last 40 years was way too permissive. And what they are consciously trying to do is to redefine what is too much and to bring that number considerably below what it's been in mainstream merger practice, certainly for the last 20 years or so. So that number in their eyes ought to come down dramatically.
So, I mean, let's look at the example, right, with Taylor Swift. You have Ticketmaster and Live Nation. They merged, I think, a few years ago.
2010, the deal was completed.
Yeah, so. I don't know if, I mean, can you buy concert tickets, sports tickets without going through that company at this point?
The general view is that there are very few alternatives. And for anything that matters, they're the conduit you have to use.
And so is that problematic from the FTC's point of view? I mean, why was this approved?
The Department of Justice approved it. It was their deal. The two federal agencies, the Justice Department, looked at this one. They approved it in 2010 with a certain amount of enthusiasm that the controls on conduct they imposed in the settlement were going to create opportunities for other firms to prosper in this space, to grow and to operate in a way that would enable them to develop as credible alternatives to Ticketmaster. So they had a basic provision that required that the newly merged entity not discriminate against other companies by saying, if you want to have access to our production company and the talent, you've got to use Ticketmaster. The whole point of the settlement was to ensure that they couldn't exercise that kind of leverage. Well, that didn't work. So they revised the settlement in 2019 to bolster it, to make the commitment more powerful. It's apparent that's not working very well. And I think the lesson that the Department of Justice has learned from this and the FTC watching this is if the settlement involves complicated controls on behavior, where somebody's got to watch to make sure that the behavior is carried out in the way the government wanted, those don't work very well. So we're better off either letting the deal go or just blocking it, and far more often blocking it.
Is there sort of a feeling, and listen, you were on the FTC for a long time on the commission, is there a sense that, like, you look at sort of a percentage threshold, like, we don't want a single company to have more than 30% of the market share, 50% of the market share, 80% of the market share?
Yeah, the place where the government, I'd say, again, for the last 20 years has tried to draw the line is to say, we'd like to have at least four or five participants in the market. We really get nervous when that number falls down to three, and any transaction that reduces the number of participants below three, we're going to block. So the frontier for fighting in the past in court has been a deal that collapses the number of survivors from four down to from three to two or two to one, with four to three being a candidate to be examined. What the FTC and DOJ are doing now is trying to push that number out. There was a time when merger policy set that threshold at 10 to 9. Or 9 to 8. We probably won't go back there, but I'm sure that the view of current management is those recently accepted thresholds are way too low, and we're much better off having 4, 5, 6 participants in these markets.
Congress seems like they're going to hold hearings, at least. I don't know what those hearings are going to move to. You know, the Senate has said that they want to hear from Live Nation Ticketmaster executives. What role is there for Congress? Do they need to pass new antitrust legislation?
In the background, that's a possibility, but it's probably not going to happen now. I'd say the immediate aim is to put pressure on the Department of Justice to act. That is to have a visible forum in which they criticize the senior management of these companies. They bring forward all of the lapses in performance that they can assemble. So the foremost aim of this exercise is to apply public pressure on the antitrust officials, to draw public attention to this, to show the larger public we're concerned about the breakdown in performance and we're dealing with it.
Does the Justice Department have the authority it needs right now without new legislation?
They do have the authority right now to take action if they see there's a violation. They have a number of different theories they can use. They can argue that the company didn't fulfill the promise of this renewed consent order in 2019, that they're violating prohibitions on any competitive behavior by dominant firms. They have a variety of tools they can use right now. Yes.
Let me ask this. You know, I think that when you talk about sort of free market versus government role in the marketplace. That may be as old a political debate as there is in civilization. How partisan is this debate right now? How do you see that if there were to be a legislative solution here?
There's been a fascinating left-right coalition that is formed on the idea that we ought to control big tech. Now, that's mainly been focused on the GAFA companies. But I'd say there's a larger agreement on left and right for a variety of different reasons that big tech has assembled too much power. And as a result, you have a lot of interesting legislative proposals now that may not be adopted this Congress, may be carried forward on the very left and the very right that are converging on the idea that big tech is a problem and needs to be controlled.
Would that carry over in the non-tech issues like this Kroger deal or some of these non-tech sector mergers that maybe as it relates to some of the purchases that we've seen in the local news space?
I think it can have a spillover. I think the spillover in food can be linked to increase in food prices, mm-hmm. concern that supply chains have broken down because of dominance bottlenecks in different areas. You have conservative agrarian interests from some of the farm states. A person like Chuck Grassley in the Senate have expressed a lot of concerns about high food prices. You have a combustible, I would say unstable coalition of conservatives and liberals who are certainly minded to look at tech more carefully and maybe do something. But that concern is easily transferable, I think, into the food sector, especially with the agrarian coalition that you have in some of the major farm states. So that by itself is a reason for firms to take this seriously and not regard it as simply a partisan divide, because the Venn diagram of partisan interests overlaps to a great degree in some of these areas.
That will probably be clear in some of the hearings that we expect now to happen in the Congress over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, and as you'll see, conservatives and liberals being willing to go to the barricades on these issues. You mentioned before how it takes a Taylor Swift booking smash up to bring this to attention, but legislators across the board respond to these concerns. It's fascinating how policy gets shaped in our world and our nation by calamities, or at least perceived calamities. I wouldn't put the Taylor Swift calamity on the same scale as Ukraine, for example, but it's these kinds of jarring events that tend to galvanize legislators to pay attention. So I would think in the hearings on Ticketmaster and the hearings on Albertsons, we're going to see the left and right talk about concerns about too much concentration and the need for greater antitrust oversight.
Maybe Taylor Swift will get a piece of legislation named after her. Bill Kovacic, I appreciate the time.
I could be called the Swift
Act. Oh, I like it.
Also known as the Swift
Act. You're already thinking about it. I like it. All right. We'll bring you on again as these hearings move forward. And
we've seen this movie before.
We have. And we'll probably see it again. Sir, I appreciate the time.
Thank you, Jared. Happy holidays and look forward to next time.
That will do it for this week's Fox News Rundown from Washington. Next week, Congress is a little over a month left before adjourning, and the lame duck to-do list is growing. We'll discuss fast-approaching deadlines to keep government funded, the debt limit, immigration reform, and border security. Plus, for the first time since taking office, President Biden will host a state dinner honoring the President of France, a key partner in the NATO alliance. Until then, from all of us at Fox News Radio, I hope you had a restful and peaceful Thanksgiving. Thank you for listening. I'm Jared Halpern from Washington. Please rate and review this podcast at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts. Listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts, and Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app.
Pull up a chair and join me, Rachel Campos Duffy.
And me, former U.S. Congressman Sean Duffy, as we share our perspective on the discussions happening at kitchen tables across America.
Download From the Kitchen Table, the Duffys, at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you download podcasts.